Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The Conservative Party has suffered a bruising result in the UK by-elections overnight. The government lost the constituencies of Selby Adainsty to Labour and Somerton and Frome to the Lib Dems and just about clung on to former PM Boris Johnson's old seat in Uxbridge and Ruislip. Rishi Sunak has already been out painting this as a success, but does the scale of the swing against his party suggest that they are on course to lose number 10 in the next election? I'm joined by Kevin Maguire, Daily Mirror Associate Editor, and Professor John Tong, Professor of British and Irish Politics at University of Liverpool. Good morning to both of you. Kevin, could you begin, please, first of all, by telling us the scale of the losses in Selby and Ainsty and Somerton and Frome?
Oh, huge. Selby, for instance, is the first time Labour's taken a seat from the Conservatives where there's been a 20,000 majority, and the swing is the second largest ever recorded by Labour. Down in Somerton and Frome, in 19,000 Tory majorities turned into an 11,000 Liberal Democrat majority. So they were really heavy, painful, brutal defeats for the UK governing Conservative Party.
And what happened in London?
In London, there was a swing against the Conservatives. The majority went from just over 7,000 to just under 500. Swing to Labour, but there is huge local opposition to the extension of a ULEZ charge. It's £12.50 a day if your car is an older vehicle and polluting. Generally, it would mean a diesel more than 8 years and a more than 16 years. The mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, is Labour. He was encouraged and, in fact, forced by the Conservative government to extend this ULEZ charging system, which is in the centre of London. But nevertheless, he's implementing it, and Labour took a hit from that. And that's what's giving Rishi Sunak hope. He went straight to Uxbridge, said where there are specific reasons to vote Conservative, people will do so. You could then ask the question, well, didn't you give people in Somerset and Frome and Selby and Ainsty specific reasons to vote Conservative? It's either a or a straw for him to clutch. And I think the scale of the defeats suggests it's a straw to clutch rather than that life raft.
John, Rishi Sunak has been out already this morning saying, look, this is a midterm by-election. Governments never win midterm by-elections. In fairness, he's not wrong about that, is he?
It's true, but what will concern Rishi Sunak is the scale of the swings against the Conservative Party, because, as Kevin has indicated, Uxbridge and South Ruislip was about very much a local issue. Nationally, there's no scheme such as the low emission scheme in London. So the Conservatives' problems have hardly gone away. You know, the size of those swings against the Conservatives was huge, and they're very reminiscent of the 1990s. In fact, the average scale the average size of a swing against the Conservatives in the 1990s at by-elections, when they were going to be swept out of office in 1997, was 23%, almost the same as the one in Selby and Ainsty against the Conservatives yesterday. So it's still looking bleak for the Conservatives. They've still got the problem. You know, a lot of MPs, Conservative MPs, have lost faith. 36 have already announced they're not going to contest the next election, including 6 former cabinet ministers, and we're probably still a year away from that election. But Rishi Sunak has turned up in Uxbridge and South Ruislip this morning. What he said is, this is what happens when you actually have Labour implementing policies, referred to the policies of the London Labour Mayor Sadiq Khan, pointed out the Conservatives have held the seat, and said, you know, this is what you'll get if you have a Labour government. And so, you know, Rishi Sunak, not unsurprisingly, is making hay from what really overall was a terrible set of election results. I think that the issue in Uxbridge and South Ruislip, that by-election causes problems for both parties. It shows that elections still trump environmentalism. The Conservatives have been running away from a green agenda for some time. It also causes problems for Keir Starmer as Labour leader. How much does he pursue this bright new idea that he had of a green economy when, A, there isn't that much money to have that, and secondly, it appears to be costing Labour votes? So there are difficulties from both parties, but still the bigger problems by far, if you look at the overall polling, is within amongst the Conservatives.
Kevin, the other thing that Rishi Sunak said in Uxbridge and Ruislip this morning was that this result shows that their policies are right and that they're just going to keep on implementing them and soldier on. Is that a bit tone deaf?
I think so. When the cost of living crisis, rise in NHS waiting list, interest rates going up, inflation came down by more than expected, but it's still high at 7.9%. I think you've got to say that Selby and Summerton would question what he said, and the validity of it would be challenged. All by-elections were, these three by-elections, they're all in difficult circumstances because Boris Johnson and the Selby MP both quit. Boris Johnson being branded a liar, could have faced a recall ballot, although it's interesting, if he just stayed, could he have held on to that seat and won a by-election? But the Selby MP quit in a huff because he didn't get a peerage. Down in Somerton, the MP faces incredible number of allegations over sex and drug scandals. So they're very difficult for the Conservatives, but it's not. They haven't just started losing these by-elections. The Liberal Democrats have now taken three formerly safe Tory seats. Labour won in Wakefield. It's incredible that two years ago, in May 2021, the Conservative Party in power actually won a by-election against Labour in Hartlepool in northeast England. That just feels a different time and world from now, because these were real votes which were confirming broadly what opinion polls show, and that is the Conservatives are in serious electoral trouble. And it's almost as if they're in a pincer movement now, broadly between Labour in the North and Midlands and the Liberal Democrats in the South, and particularly the South West. And that's a real danger for them. It doesn't mean Keir Starmer and Labour are going to win a majority. Okay. That's very difficult because he inherited the fewest MPs since 1935 and needs a Blair-style 1997 landslide just to get a very basic slim majority.
And is there any evidence that voters are running towards Keir Starmer in the way that they did towards Tony Blair in 1997?
I think very little. He hasn't cut through in the same way. I think it can be overstated. He's dull, boring, Labour don't have any policies or whatever. But I think there's an anti-Conservative mood after nearly 14 years, four elections. It's kind of, look, you haven't dealt well with the cost of living crisis, the crisis in the NHS, and if there are other problems you haven't sorted, you're not going to fix them now.
Can we look a little bit more closely, John, at the Lib Dems and how much more popular they are, and particularly if they're not pushing things like this ULEZ congestion charge policy in places like London? Could they end up dividing and spoiling rather than, I suppose, dividing and conquering the Labour vote? I mean, is there a scenario here in which the next election isn't as bad for the Conservatives as possible because it might be good for the Lib Dems?
Well, it's still a tough ask for Keir Starmer to win an overall majority for Labour, given where Labour is starting from. So the Liberal Democrats could still be very much in play, and Keir Starmer's been very careful not to rule out categorically the possibility of doing a deal with the Liberal Democrats after the next election, because, you know, Labour may well fall short of an overall majority. The Liberal Democrats are enjoying some spectacular swings in the south of England towards them. They've always done quite well in the southwest of England. They've won the Tiverton Honiton by-election. They've won Somerton through yesterday on swings of a magnitude almost of 30% away from the Conservatives. So the Conservatives are struggling to hold their southern flank against the Lib Dem revival. And they're going to lose a lot of seats in the north because some of those red wall seats were improbable gains for the Conservatives last time. And they're going to be very, very difficult to hold. So how does Rishi Sunak counter that as Conservative leader? Well, there's not that much left up his sleeve. We go into the summer recess now, so there will be a political lull. But the by-elections are almost certainly not over because there's almost certain to be a by-election in Tamworth, in Staffordshire, where the Conservatives are defending a majority of the size that they lost in Selby and Ainsty yesterday. They've got one party conference probably left this autumn in Manchester, and they've probably got one budget left to offer some goodies to the electorate. Otherwise, we're looking at a Labour government probably next autumn. But whether it'll be an overall majority Labour government on the evidence of these by-elections, I still think there's a lot to play for in that.
Kevin, just go back to John's analysis of the climate action policies. Maybe the voters won't run in the direction of Labour or of the Lib Dems, clearly, but do you share his feelings that the voters are clearly running in the opposite direction to climate action?
To some extent, yes, because it is one of the top five or six issues now, but people don't like to have to pay for it. and in London, where bad air, poor air, dirty air is said to kill thousands of people a year, people don't want to be paying £12.50 to drive old vehicles around the city in the suburbs. It's the same on energy. The green levy on bills is very, very unpopular. So people, yes, pay lip service, some of them in their hearts, back action on the climate. But when it comes to pounds and pence, there is some kicking back, particularly in a cost of living crisis, which Labour is making great play on, understandably, because it's the number one concern of voters. And you can say, well, isn't there a contradiction that in a cost of living crisis, you're going to start paying people with older cars £12.50 to drive around parts of London? This is where you get the clash between green goals and hard financial reality. And Labour is certainly, it's 28 billion, what it called a Green New Deal. Then it rebadged a Green Prosperity Plan, which the idea is that we invest and we can produce cheaper energy in the long run. Well, it's been backed away from to some extent in the implementation is going to be delayed, and they won't say quite when they would hit that 28 billion target. I can see that, because if the cost of living is people's number one priority, well, what might be five or sixth on the environment is going to be trumped by the cost of living.
Okay. Kevin McGuire, John Tong, thank you both very much. Still to come on the programme, Russia declares grain ships in the Black Sea to be legitimate military targets. Paul Rouse is going to be looking ahead to Sunday's hurling final, and the Friday gathering will be here to discuss all of the big stories of the week. Coming up after this break, though, debunking misconceptions, myths and old wives' tales about the natural world with Dr. Shane Bergen.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.